o'clock.
Okay.
So who all's here?
You have Janet in Miami,
Nancy in D.C.,
and Mitch in Costa Mesa.
Mitch. Who was the first one? Is that Bertie?
Miami. Janet. Janet in Miami.
Janet. Hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
I sent you an email with a gazillion questions and background. And
I saw that. I was impressed. Well, let's give it a couple minutes, see if anybody else shows up. Let's see.
Da, da, da. So where is it that you're located, Conrad?
I live in El Segundo, which is just south of Los Angeles, and I'm about a half mile from the beach. I'm just south of LAX Airport, about a mile. Okay.
Probably not far from Mattel.
I can probably see Mattel from the end of my block, yes. What do you know about Mattel?
I did a couple projects for them, working at an ad agency as a writer.
Huh, okay.
Batman toys for the Dark Knight movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I was driving down Sepulveda one night, and I looked over at their building, and the bat signal was on the side of their building.
That's pretty neat.
A light, you know? It freaked me out. Wasn't sure what was going on.
Yeah, I used to go to L.A. on business probably every 6 weeks, but I haven't done that in years.
Yeah?
I love L.A.
I love
where I live. Miami, Florida's got to be the best.
Yeah, never been there. If you ever fly...
Been to Miami.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you ever fly out of LAX... As you're taking off, if you look south, you'll see my house.
Oh. Well, I don't think we'd recognize it.
No.
I want to hear more about Janet's electronic cigarette review.
Well, it's. I was telling Nancy, neither my husband nor I are smokers, but we know a lot of people who, they're never going to give up cigarettes, so at least this gives them an alternative that doesn't have the carcinogens and the thousands of chemicals. It's just got, you know, vapor that makes a smoke, and it's got nicotine if you want it. And so ours is a traditional affiliate-type site where if people click through, we get a commission. But we actually pay people to review and critique the cigarettes, you know, to provide helpful information. So there are some cigarettes that we're affiliates for that I'm sure we'll never get sales on because the reviewers said they absolutely were terrible. But we try to be unbiased, and we're hoping that'll, you know, in the long run, give us an edge.
Hmm. Is there much competition in this?
Yes,
niche?
A ridiculous amount of competition.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. I mean, both of us have real jobs. This is the business that we started thinking this will provide us retirement income.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly not at that point yet. The amount that we've put into developing it versus how much we've gotten in commissions is really laughable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm here to learn, how to improve that.
And are most of the other sites sort of run along similar lines on this affiliate?
Yeah, well, they say they give reviews, but when you go to their pages, they love everything.
Okay.
So they're clearly just trying to sell it and, you know... Ours, yes, of course we want to sell it, but you know, we're trying to be truthful at the same time and provide a value.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a new world for, I mean, neither of us, you know, we're both technically savvy, but we're not, you know, we're not 20-something-year-old, so we're, you know, this is a new world for us.
You don't have to be 20.
Well, I mean, not that being 52 is a real big detriment, but it really is a little bit more of a learning curve than someone who's probably in their late 20s or early 30s.
Yeah.
Well, that rules me out, too, so.
No, wait. I'm 55.
Oh, okay.
I can keep up with the 20-year-olds. I can learn this stuff.
Well,
I'm just learning to swim with the sharks.
Yeah.
But no, it's an interesting business model. I mean, how you have to, you know, get the search engines to find you, and that's what I need to learn more of.
Well, so let's start with you. I want to go over the list, make sure I got everybody. Nancy's here. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Mitch is here.
Yes.
And right. Janet, I was just mm-hmm. talking. And then, okay, so it's only the three of us, huh?
Well, four of us, the three of us and you.
And me, okay, all right. So I looked at your website, and you have an interesting model. And I think I wanted to start this call out by, like, stepping back a little bit and looking at what search engine optimization is and why you're trying to do it and how does it fit into the overall scheme of things before we get into, like, the details and nitty-gritty of how you do this stuff. You got to get traffic to your website, and you're either going to get traffic from other people referring to your website or from search engines, or if they know you and they just type it in and go there directly. So that's your three types of traffic: direct, referral, and search engine. And in search engine traffic, that's going to be a game of the competition versus the amount of traffic. So if you go for a real generic, open, big term, there's going to be a ton of traffic and there's going to be a ton of competition. So you might get a million searches a day, but you might have a million people you're fighting for that traffic. And those are going to be really hard. If you go more esoteric, more, you know, niche specific search terms, then you're going to have less traffic. You might get 100 searches a day, but you might own those 100 searches. So that's always going to be a balance and a trick, and you're going to have to do the research to figure out what the right ratios are and all that kind of stuff. Does that all make sense? So far,
yeah.
I'm not rambling here.
No.
This is totally an experiment on my part to even see what this call is going to be about. So we'll see. So you've got search engine traffic. So figuring out what the keyword is one of the first steps in this. You know, what has enough traffic to be viable, but not as much competition where you could crush your competition. And that's just a math thing. And so, If you, Janet, have a lot of competition, that's going to be difficult, and I'm not quite sure how to do that. If everybody else has, you know, higher-ranking stuff.
I mean, it seems to me like when we do our analytics every single day and look, yeah. where is traffic coming from, mm-hmm. and the kind of phrases that it's coming from really sometimes surprise us. So, like, we were getting some traffic from unbiased electronic cigarette reviews, so
yeah.
we pumped up that usage a little bit more because that truly describes what we do.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that we got a surprising amount of traffic from is one of the brands, we happen to have the phrase in there, best for heavy smokers.
Yeah.
And that one got a lot of, you know, we wind up getting hits on that every day.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to use that phrase more. But in terms of just looking for something else, you know, like electronic cigarette reviews, we, you know, there's a gazillion competitors.
Mm-hmm.
We're like on page 9.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be worth it to try to beat those guys, you know? So.
But then what's my option?
Go for the esoteric stuff.
Yeah.
The smaller phrases.
Long tail phrases?
Yeah. Yeah, long tail phrases.
And so then would something like, you know, Iluma, good for heavier smokers, I mean, that's considered a long tail phrase.
Yeah, because there's not going to be a lot of people searching for that every day.
Yeah.
I mean, compared with people searching for Iluma, you know.
Yeah, yeah, Iluma, there's a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
What about, like, you know, guide to electronic cigarettes, something like that? Review of electronic cigarettes. I tend to have conversations with Google, and even though I, you know, I do both long tail and keyword stuff on my site, when it's just me going to look for something, I don't look for things by keyword. I type in where can I find XXX,
mm-hmm.
And I found that that's been really helpful to my SEO.
So, well, so you're getting hits on that, like for where can I find antique silver, you said was your business, right?
Yeah, and I've even narrowed it down further than that because, you know, like electronic cigarettes, there's a gazillion competitors out there for me. But if you just, like, sit down with some of the people you know and say, you know, well, how would you search for one of these things? And just write them down and then research them.
Well, I have a question that kind of ties both Nancy and Janet together, I think, in terms of location. For Nancy, it's going to be more regional, and sounds like, Janet, you're all over the place.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to start with a local, organic-type focus and then let it broaden out sort of naturally? Or do you just go for it, in Janet's case, regardless of location?
I don't think anybody's going to search for Miami electronic cigarettes. You know, I don't think that'll be a search term at all. I mean, if you're providing a service...
It doesn't make sense to add location keywords for Janet, but for Nancy, it's...
Actually, no, I'm either so local that people find me by word of mouth, or they visit my stores on the online. But I've kind of focused my efforts on the U.S. searches.
But you don't. What city are you in?
I'm in D.C.
Oh, okay. So but nobody searches for D.C. antique silver, do they?
No, okay. No. And I don't have a storefront anyway.
Oh, okay.
So you know, I've registered with the local, you know, with the Yelps and the Yahoos and those things, but I don't get any traffic from them.
Yeah.
My traffic is like, I don't know, 63% from Google organic searches.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like bumping up the SEO is going to help everybody here.
Yeah.
And the big thing with SEO, and going back to the real world of people searching for stuff, and the search engines are trying to figure out, you know, what do these people want, and then who should they send them to? You know, who should rank higher for this? You look at all the factors for SEO, and inbound links is probably the biggest one. How are you doing with the number of inbound links to your sites?
I have no benchmark to understand, you know, whether 9 is fabulous or, you know, you need 800 million kind of thing. I don't have any benchmarks actually for any of this stuff.
Yeah, and that was my question as well, and I should have included that in my email. Is, you know, we've got links coming into our sites from blogs as well as search directories and articles and press releases, but it seems to me like the algorithm must somehow include not just the number, but the quality of sites that you're on.
It does include that. It does include quality. But most people just don't have any numbers. How many do you have?
You know, I wish my husband would hurry up and get here because he looks at those analytics every single morning.
I've got 462.
Oh, you've got me way beat. Okay.
Okay.
But a lot of them are from the same site.
Yeah.
But when I go through my Webmaster Tools account, and I wish to God that Webmaster Tools and Analytics were combined on one page, but, you know, I don't know how many distinct sites there are. There's just over 100, I think, but some of them have multiple links, and some of them just have one. There have been a couple people who've taken a shine to me, and they've mentioned me a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if that number is good, bad, or indifferent.
I think it depends on who your competitors are. You know, if well, and then this also gets back to what's the exact search term that you're trying to rank for. Antique silver, you're going to have 8 million competitors.
Oh yeah, no. No, I've got 4 long tail phrases that I'm trying to rank for.
Okay.
The search volume per month or per whatever it is that they calculate is is about. Some of them are 5 to 7, and some of them are 18 to 20,000. Okay. And the green competition bar, you know, on the keyword research
right.
tool, all of them are at less than a quarter.
Okay.
In fact, they're probably at about an eighth. I don't, you know, I don't bother if they're much further along than that.
The best way to do that is go to Google, put in your phrase, and look at the number at the top of Google. It says, you know, search results of, you know,
whatever. No, I've done that. And I also do it, doing it in as a as an exact quotation phrase as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm starting to rank for them. But one of the things that always throws me off, of course, is that the search results are so individualized. You know, what I look up on my computer, even if I've signed out of Google and cleared my cache, mm-hmm. is very different from, you know, what my friend next door gets, kind of thing.
Doesn't
that have to do with your browsing history and your location and things like that?
Well, I try and clear all of it, but I'm unsure.
Your neighbor next door didn't clear theirs, for example.
Well, no, my neighbor next door had never done it.
Hmm.
They'd never looked me up.
Someone else would get a different result because they search for different things.
Right, but I went over to my neighbor's house and said, you know, would you mind terribly, can we type this phrase in? And we did, and I came up number 3 on the first page.
Hmm.
And what is it? You know,
what is it when
I don't,
you do it?
Oh, when I do it, it's number 1.
Okay.
But they got me at number 3 on the first page, and I was like, well, is that a real result or a skewed result? And again, the Google webmaster tools, you know, they give you that average, I can't even remember what it's called, site place on page, something like that. And you know, it seems to reflect numbers that are much lower mm-hmm. than that.
I wouldn't get all hung up on the details of exactly where you rank.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody does get skewed results, and Google's trying to personalize stuff based on what else they've searched for and things like that.
Okay.
So, but what I would look at is in the Yahoo Site Explorer. Have you ever used that?
Yeah.
I would put in... Well, first I go to Google and I would put in your search phrase, and I would take the top 10 people there, and I would take the URLs, the domain names from those top 10, go to mm-hmm. Site Explorer, put it in there, find out who links to them and why, you know, and then look at how many people link to each one of those. If your competition all has, you know, 5,000 people and you have 500, then you're getting crushed. If they all have, you know, 28 and you've got 400, then you're crushing them.
Okay. Okay, so I'm sorry. So Site Explorer is where you can go to see how many inbound links a particular has?
Yes. Go to Site Explorer. It's Yahoo, siteexplorer.yahoo.com, I think. And if you put in a URL or a domain name there, you can get a list of all the links into that site.
Okay.
And a list of the first, I think it's 500 or 1,000 people who link to that site. So you can see, and they actually seem to be ranking them by importance. So the important ones go to the top on the first page.
Okay.
So if you want to rank, if you want to beat your competition, you go there, see who's linking to your competition, and then go talk to those people and try to get them to link to you.
Okay. Oh, that's the most useful piece of advice I've gotten yet.
Yeah, that is very, very valuable.
I thought so. I think that's pretty sneaky. I like that one, though.
I do, too.
You know, it's like if you want to be friends with somebody, you go be friends with their friends. And, you know.
Yeah, and I just logged into Google Analytics, and you know, like Nancy... for me, it's 49.93% of our visits come from Google Organic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then some of the referrals are coming from that Spanish site that I had told you that we set up a brand new Spanish site.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. If I go to, see, like on Untangling the Web, most websites, Untangling the Web, I get maybe 100 hits a day. Let me go look at my, where'd my analytics go? Oh, here we go. Webmaster.
You know what would be a really awesome product niche for you, Conrad?
What?
Is, you know, the newcomer's guide to benchmarking the stats. Yeah? You're telling me that you get about 100 hits a day, and from your tone you're implying that, you know, that's pretty good.
It's probably average.
Okay. That is complete news to me and totally changes my perspective on how well my site is doing.
Okay.
Because I've been crushing myself because I've been looking at these numbers and thinking, oh my God, I'm doing so horribly.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I'm actually not.
Well,
but I have no understanding. You know, the time on site stuff.
Yeah.
I told somebody who knew something about it the other day. I was looking at my Google Analytics, and the average new visitor to my site
mm-hmm.
spends 52 minutes there.
Are you kidding?
No.
That's huge.
Nancy?
I didn't know that.
Was that you, Nancy?
Yes, that's me.
That's a long time.
That's huge.
We're not talking hundreds of people a day.
I've never had a site where they spend more than 3 or 4 minutes, I'd say.
That's my repeat visitor average is like 7 minutes, 42 seconds or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Well,
for comparison, my Survivor site, which is my huge traffic site, on Thursdays, the day after the show, I'll get 11 to 13,000 page views. And,
okay.
You know, so I'm doing a million page views a month on that site. That's huge traffic. My average
uh-huh.
time on site is a minute and 50 seconds. And
okay.
search traffic is like 70% of it comes from search traffic.
Uh-huh.
So that's a fan site for a TV show. That's totally optimized. I'm number two. I think they rank me, like, there's three on the front page, the different sites I have. Because
right.
I have a new site for each season, so the last three seasons are ranked on the first page. But then if I look
okay.
at, I have a niche site that's optimized, that's the number one. I did the traffic versus competition and found a keyword that I optimized the site for. And I get about, it looks like maybe 80 or 90 hits a day on average, and 91% come from search engines. Average time on site is 19 seconds. So, you know. So they can be all over the place. It depends on the site, what the content is, what people are looking for, and what they find, and all of that.
Right. Yeah, well, just, you know, just even just that kind of information, you know, the difference between like a little niche site and a massive site. I just, I'm kind of floating out here in space with no,
right.
with no understanding of what my site is doing in qualitative terms. I know how it's doing quantitatively, but I have no idea what that means qualitatively.
Well, it kind of depends on what's it doing for you. I mean, are you making enough money off of it? Are you happy with it? Do you want more? You know, everybody wants more, I guess.
Yeah, sure, everybody wants more. I've only just gotten into the online stuff, and I've really only been at it in a very serious way since just before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm really exploring to see if I can bring my local business model and adapt it successfully to online mm-hmm. commerce. Mm-hmm. And my local business is actually all about educating my customers mm-hmm. And building long-term relationships with them, because I'm tired of my clients bringing stuff to me and they've been ripped off. Mm-hmm. You know, they've bought something that they were told is sterling or 18th century or whatever, you know, and it was silver plate made in China in 1980.
Right.
So that's what the people are spending 52 minutes on my site doing.
So do you have articles on how to spot counterfeits and how to do this and how to do that?
All that kind of stuff, yeah.
And do you get a lot of traffic to those kind of sites?
Oh yeah.
Or those kind of pages?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have on my website, which, you know, about me and the services and the links to the various shops that I have. I've also got a blog, and I blog religiously 3 times a week, and it's content rich. And I've also got an ever-growing resources library, and the resources library is really bringing in the traffic.
Yeah, because that's the kind of stuff people search for. They have a question, they want their question answered. They don't necessarily say, oh, I want to go buy this today. You know, maybe they do,
right.
But probably not.
Right.
So.
I'm also mining my analytics for blog and, you know, answering question ideas.
Uh-huh.
What are the questions people type in to find the answers to? And if it's something, you know, which I haven't answered and they've gone to me and they've bounced off me relatively quickly, well, then I write a post about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happens is, you know, going back to that person sitting at their computer searching for something, if you can answer their question, that's going to probably rank you higher, you know, for that question, those questions mm-hmm. that people have. So that's all good stuff. As opposed to just a straight up, you know, like a brand name or a product name or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get back to the electronic cigarettes thing.
Okay.
That seems like it's a straight up search SEO thing. It's like I'm searching for a specific term and, you know, I'm searching for a term and you're going to try to rank for those terms. I wonder what would happen if you added more of a personality into it, or more of a guide or resource kind of stuff, where you said, you know, like, how do you, like she was saying, how do you tell a good one from a bad one? What are the different aspects of it? If you're more of a buyer's guide and try to do more of that kind of stuff, do you think that would help?
Well, that's what we were actually aiming for, because, like, when you go to the reviews and you click on a specific brand and then you click for more information, there's like there's answers to every kind of question, like how long does this battery last, to how much does it wind up costing as a pack equivalent, to, you know, does it look cool or does it look dorky?
Right.
And in terms of the personality, that's what we were trying to do with having the 3 different reviewer personalities, you know, the one who's all about style, the one who's all about value, and the other one who's all about the smoker's experience.
Huh.
So it's, you know, I mean, that's what we were trying to do, but I don't know if we've done it in the most effective way, if that's not, like, coming across, you know.
How long have you been doing it?
Since September. We started the English language site in September, and we just launched the Spanish language site a couple weeks ago, and we're still inputting content to that.
Yeah. And give me some of the numbers. How many, like, inbound links do you have? How many pages do you have?
I just looked that up. It's 52 inbound links, but then when I look at the actual sources, you know, a lot of them are coming from our own, you know, other pages within our site, or from the Spanish language site, and then from some bloggers. And I see that there's one from Untangling the Web.
That's probably because you left a comment on my site.
That's probably why.
Yes.
But that was one of those questions. Is that how you wind up with an inbound link, even if I didn't?
It's one way, yeah.
So you're counting when you leave a comment, that link that goes back to your site is inbound.
Yes. Yeah. And there's some technical issues with that. If you have, in the link itself, there's a rel no equals no follow, which tells Google, don't pass any page rank on this link. So you don't get the page rank, the Google juice from it, but you do get it counted as a link. And if you leave a lot of comments, you get a lot of links, and that does add something. You know, that adds some value.
Well, and sometimes people will follow you back to your site based on what you've said, if you're adding to the conversation.
So there's the technical aspect of Google says, oh, this is one more link to credit for that site over there. There's the social aspect where you leave a witty, compelling comment. It's like, oh, I like this guy. Let's check this out. And they go look at your stuff and go, hey, I like your stuff. Let me write about it, link to it, blog to it, whatever.
That's the John Morrow strategy.
Exactly. Exactly.
See, Conrad, I've never understood that. I thought that the rel no follow stuff meant that literally Google turned a blind eye to it.
Nope. Google looks at everything. They may not count everything, and they may not count it very much, but they look at everything.
Different value.
Yeah. It's like just because it says no follow or no index, they're going to go look at it anyway. And they might say, okay, well, this is a rel no follow. You know, we're not going to pass the Google juice, you know, the page rank stuff, but it's going to count as links.
I'd seen the phrase, you know, that it's not going to pass the Google juice. I've seen that in lots of places.
Yeah.
And I had not interpreted that as PageRank.
Yeah.
I had interpreted that as crediting any kind of relationship between those two endpoints.
Right.
Okay. Well, so on that topic, because our website has a very active blog, which apparently spammers find very, very easily, each time spammers leave something, I mean, we get rid of it, but does that wind up giving them links back to their crappy sites?
Yeah, that's why they're spamming you, to get links.
But I mean, even if we go in and delete it, like we have moderated forums.
Right. If you delete it.
Am I getting it?
You know, Google rolls through, you know, once a day, once a week, once a month, whatever. If they roll through and crawl your site and happen to catch it at that moment, they're going to count that. So, yeah. And if they roll through again in, you know, next week and it's not there, they're going to go, oh, okay, and they're going to discount that.
Got it.
So, yeah, you need to keep it spam-free.
Is it a good sign when the spammers find you? Does that mean you've, you know, made some impression on the world?
Nah, you just came up in the lottery, that's all.
Coming up a lot in like Poland and some other like Eastern.
Yeah, I get a lot of Russian stuff.
Yeah, we get.
And some language I don't understand. So.
By the way, I apologize for coming in late, but I'm Bertie
this?
Diamond. This is Bertie Diamond. I finally showed up.
Hi, Bertie.
Hi. I was like, oh my God, it's after two. Yes, it was somewhere I was supposed to be. Ah.
Yay! Well, welcome to Lunch with Conrad.
Yay! Thank you.
So, well, go ahead.
Oh, if there was a pause in the conversation, I actually had another question about the no follow.
Yes.
If you're trying to be a good, you know, sort of blog host, so to speak, for other people, you know, doing that whole community thing of supporting each other, does that mean you should take the no follow off your sites, or should you leave it on there? I mean, I'm less confused than I was, but I'm still a little bit.
Okay, well, originally when Google first started, like back in 99 or whatever, their original algorithm was based solely on what they called PageRank. So if you have a page and you have 1,000 people linked to it, each one of those other pages have a little bit of page rank and they pass that page rank to your page. So that drives up the page rank of your page. And then if you have, let's say if you have 5 links on your site to other sites, the page rank that you have is going to get divided by 5 and 1/5 of your page rank will be passed to those other pages. Okay. So then it became a big linking game, and who had more pages linked to them became more important, and that's all based on your page rank of 1 to 10. So that's the whole page rank thing, and that's Google juice. And so then if you have 100 links, you only get 1%, 100th pass through each link, you know. So you have to, you know, so it's this balancing act of how many people link to you, what's your page rank, what are you passing to them, what are they passing to you, and all that. It's kind of, and then the algorithm in the last 10 years has grown to just sheer number of links without the page rank being passed, and all these other factors that they're looking at, trying to figure out, you know, what's important, who's game in the system, what's the best possible highest quality result I can pass, you know, how do I tell that, what do I, you know, what signals do I use to figure that out. So now links, just, you know, the number of links, just the sheer number of links counts for something. So to go back to answer your question, if I know that you have a blog, and if I know that you're going to pass me some page rank, if I leave a comment, well, then I, as another website owner, am going to be motivated to leave a comment on your site. So if you want to encourage comments, that's a good thing. And then advertise that, use comment love, and tell people, hey, you know, comment here and I'll pass you some Google juice.
I have comment love on there, and I have the spam one they did, so it's really easy to do anti-spam without annoying people. Yay.
I saw, apparently, in the
latest WordPress, apparently no follow has become the default.
Yes.
So I was just wondering if I should leave it like that, or if I should change it, or if it really matters for the good guys.
It matters technically, because you're passing or not passing, you know, page rank. And maybe that matters, maybe it doesn't to you as a, you know, from a business point of view, do you want to give away your page rank or not? You know, and it's good to share. I think, you know, I want to share with you share with me, we all share together. Yeah. and it raises everybody up. So
what if you've got no page rank?
Then you want to have more links from other people.
Right.
You know,
but you know, just when you go to the page rank checker or something, if say you've got a zero page rank,
right,
is there a downside then to like enabling the comment love thing?
I don't think there is.
Okay, because if you got nothing, it doesn't really matter what you're passing on, kind of, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the rel no follow. The reason they came up with rel no follow was to stop spammers, and that hasn't happened, you know. So I would not have rel no follow. I would use comment love. Pass all the comment love you have to everybody, you know.
Yeah, that was kind of my thinking. So does that mean I have to go back on every post since then and take it off, or is there some kind of way to globally do that?
Ooh, that's a WordPress theme.
Okay, that's kind of a far beyond your realm of expertise. Okay.
I'm actually good. It's beyond the phone call. Actually, if you go into your comments .php file, there's a if you can go in and edit your theme, there's actually a tag in there, a place where you can do that.
Oh, okay, but that, yeah. That involves editing themes, which is a little beyond my borders there. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
And I think Comment Love actually does that for you. I'm not sure.
Oh, hopefully. Okay, thank you.
Okay. So I think the bottom line to everybody's question here is get more links. And
yeah.
I think if you did nothing else than to just go out and comment on everybody else's blog on related topics, you know, related keywords, if they rank well, if your competition ranks well, go out and leave comments and get those links. I think that's the easiest, most direct way for most people. So
I'm going to ask another question then, if that's okay.
Sure.
In my niche, I haven't been able to find anybody else who sells vintage silver who blogs about, and I mean blog rather than use a blog as an advertising platform.
Yeah.
Nobody else has a place for anyone to comment.
Really?
Yeah. They're all, very few of the product providers blog in an informational sense. They blog right. in as, you know, as an advertising platform.
Yeah.
But the people that I'm kind of, sort of, and I don't really consider myself to be competition with them, they're either on eBay and they don't have a site
right.
at all,
right.
and I don't consider those to be my competitors, or they're like the huge flatware matching services like Replacements,
right.
Which is in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And you don't do anything but go to their site and buy a piece of silver.
Right. There's got to be antique jewelry forums out there.
But I don't do jewelry.
But even
what kind of silver do you do?
It's knives and forks.
Oh, flatware kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way.
That sounds good for you, Nancy.
Is this Silver Magpies?
Yeah, hi, buddy. How are you?
Hi!
Hey, thanks for the call out the other day.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. And I've got, and along that, I went and took a look at your shop, and oh my goodness, gorgeous!
Oh, thank you.
Gotta make some money so I can spend some money with you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I don't know where to go to leave comments on, you know, relevant sites.
Well, then leave comments on...
What's your URL?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Oh, what's your URL?
www.silvermagpies.com.
Great.
I would say leave comments on sites that are not quite as specific. You know, just generic antique sites, you know. And if you left comments on completely unrelated sites, they still count as links.
Okay.
So
I've been commenting a lot on sort of the, you know, decor and interior design type sites.
Okay.
Because I haven't found even more broadly going to antiques.
Yeah.
I haven't really found any great places to comment.
So do a search for antique blogs or antique forums. And you still don't find them?
I found a couple under antique forums, and I've joined them, and I comment, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But antique blogs, there's not a lot going on out there. There are people who talk about antiques within the context of their blogs,
uh-huh.
but they're not really devoted to antiques,
really?
Rather. Yes.
That's hard to believe.
This may be going... there again, this may be on the scope of a call, and we can always talk later if that's
uh-huh.
so. But for me, it's like the two things that came to my mind were, number one, if you look at it from a different way, that can actually be a really good thing, because then you can be that number one person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know for myself, somebody that's willing to give me information rather than just try and sell me stuff, oh my God, you know, put that on my you know, must-read kind of list. And the other thing is definitely think about that cross-pollination kind of thing that John Morrow talks about. It's the guest posting and, like, the...
Yep.
And I would think that would go to commenting, too, like you were doing with the housewares and the decor and like that, but maybe even go a little bit further afield somehow.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I've been doing a lot of guest posting on environmental blogs.
Oh, yeah, I can totally see that, yeah.
Because, you know, talk about the ultimate in reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yep.
So I've been doing a lot of that, and it happens to fit nicely with my former life in which I was an environmental consultant for 15 years.
Wow.
Oh, cool. Perfect.
How is that? What kind of results are you getting from that?
They're okay. They're nowhere near the league of the Google results. You know, if 60%+ of my traffic comes from Google, I think I only get like 10 or 12% direct traffic, and so the you know 28-30% is referring sites,
uh-huh.
and most of those are places that I comment rather than places that I have guest posted on.
Mm-hmm. And your guest posts, do they all have a link back to your site?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because Google counts those as links. And being a guest post where you know it's in the content, not just a comment, and they can tell, you get more credit for those kind of links.
Okay. Yeah, I get a lot of searches, and I rank very well for kind of the, you know, antiques are green type phrases.
Oh, okay.
And the other going along with that, I don't know if this would be a better question for Conrad or for Mitch, but when you do that kind of blog writing, or whether it's guest blogging or your own blogs, should we be using the kind of heavy keyword density of like 3 to 5, you know, incidences of the keyword phrase within a 100-word piece?
Well, you don't want to optimize for their site. You're doing a guest post more to get the social traffic and the technical SEO stuff. But I'd still put in the keywords. What do you think, Mitch?
Well, yeah, if you're writing a post that's relevant to your main subject, that's the ideal situation. It's when you're writing about your focus for somebody else.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So if you're
and the same with the comment, too. Like Connor was saying, if it's a relevant topic or related topic. And Nancy, you could do related things, whether it's like interior design, or kitchens, or
20th
architecture.
Yeah, and the foodie sites, all of that kind of stuff.
Historical sites, yeah, absolutely, food sites. Hey, Conrad, I had a question on the getting more links. Does Google count, or other search sites count links from like social sites? If you're say tweeting about your topic,
I knew somebody'd ask about Twitter.
Yeah, but that or if it's through something else, whether it's Foursquare or Poster or whatever.
Yeah, Facebook.
I don't know if those really
well,
pages. Yeah.
If you asked me that 6 months ago, I'd say no, absolutely not. That they don't look at it. They don't take that as a signal at all. And I think somewhere around December or January, they came out and they said, yeah, we're using that as a signal. And so now everybody's like doing tests to see just what kind of a signal. It seems that a lot of Twitters and tweets and Facebook mentions don't matter at all. But if you get people who are higher authority and have a lot of followers, if they tweet you, it does seem to have some impact. So today I'd say, yeah, it's got some, but you can't just put it out there and spam people. You got to get important people to retweet you, and there seems to be some nuance to it. So,
clout score.
I Googled myself again from a fresh browser the other day, and amongst the, you know, slightly below the folds for when I typed in Silver Magpies were individual people's tweets about me.
Yeah. They are counting it. They're tracking all that stuff now.
And if nothing else, you're at least getting some traffic, even if it's not going to give you the Google.
Yeah, you have the social aspect where people, you know, read it and click on it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I ran into a friend that I'd helped coming up on 2 years ago, built a website for her and did a bunch of stuff. She's a friend of my wife, sells sea glass jewelry, her mermaid's purse.
Oh, yeah.
And,
you blogged about that.
Yeah. So did a bunch of work on her. And then like all of last year, she had like personal drama. She had, you know, somebody died in her family and somebody went to jail and her son got injured and huge drama. Didn't do anything on her website. And I ran into her about a month ago and she said that she hasn't done anything on the site except every morning she goes out and she spends 10 to 15 minutes reading other people's blogs and leaving comments, and that she has over 3,000 inbound links now to her site.
So, wow.
I was impressed. Go Deborah. So.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then, yeah.
Go ahead. What else you got?
No, I was just wondering, like, when we do, like, our own blogs and our own articles, should we be doing that whole, like, anchor text and linking back using that, or are we supposed to...
Ultimately.
Get it? that, yeah? Okay.
And, yeah, it does count. If you have an article on your site and you, like, refer to another post mm-hmm. and you use the anchor text with your keyword in it to link to that other post, that's a signal to Google that says this site is about this keyword.
Okay.
So that helps a lot.
So when you're cross-referencing your posts by linking back, you're reinforcing your authority in a particular mm-hmm. subject. I mean, that's what CopyBlogger does yep. all the time.
Yep.
Every post, they're linking back to previous posts.
With the good keywords, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also Google, as they crawl your site, they know, they can tell by the structure of the HTML, like where the content is and where the comments are and where your blog role in the sidebar is. And they actually weight it differently. So if you have a keyword in the content, it gets a higher ranking. You know, you get more juice out of that than if it's in a comment.
Okay.
They're getting pretty smart. They're still dumber than puppies, but they're getting smart.
So basically, it's a matter of, you know, kind of keep doing what we're doing. It just, mm-hmm. it's a cumulative process.
Right. Yeah, and there again, it's like if they look at your site and you've had a blog post, you know, three times a week or once a week for a year and a half, you are obviously, you know, interested in that. You care about that. It's about that keyword and you're real. If you put out 48 posts in 2 weeks and then nothing for 6 months, it's like, yeah, well, they got motivated and then they went away, so they're not that important and they disregard you.
Okay.
And then in terms of the site's age and how much time we have left on our domain name, does Google still take that into account? In other words, we're only 6 months old, but I went ahead and I bought the domain name for 5 years because it's not a throwaway.
Yeah. You get a little tiny bit of credit for that, but not a lot.
Not much. Okay.
I mean,
and then having...
Go ahead.
Buying a bunch of other names that you know, better describe what we do and having that just, you know, forward to the main site, does that help or not really?
Not at all, because Google doesn't crawl domain names. They crawl websites and links. So unless you have a site at that domain name or somebody links to that domain name, they don't even see it. They don't even care.
Okay. And in terms of people, like, Google doesn't look for, like, as... For example, I bought a bunch of websites that have the word electronic cigarette review somewhere in them.
In the content
the domain name. So Google doesn't like certain... The domain name itself doesn't get any kind of points?
Not if there's no website behind it and if nobody points to it. They don't even know it exists.
Wow.
Website. Okay. They only look at websites and what's on the website and links are on websites and that's all.
You could just use it as a referral, if nothing else, so that when people mistype it, it'll bounce over to your site.
Or you could throw up a quick and dirty site, you know, three pages on it that has some content on there, and then link all those to your site. You might get a little off of that. But then if you do a bunch of that, then they're going to look at you and go, oh, that's a link farm. You're trying to game us, and they're going to discredit your whole entire site. So.
Hmm.
Yeah, so be careful with that.
Okay, thank you.
It's like if you try too hard, they're going to know. And they're going to, you know, hit you with their mallet. So.
I got to say, Conrad, you have lifted my spirits in an incomparable fashion.
Oh, that's good.
I am feeling so much better about what I'm doing and what's going on. And just that benchmarking information was woohoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was a total experiment for me because I'm like not selling it. I'm not making any money off this call at all.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. How do we help you now?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you how this came about. You guys, all you guys know I did a webinar like a week and a half ago?
Yes, and
I was on it.
Okay.
I was on it too.
I just saw your email about it.
Okay. Well, since I might post this recording on the web sometime, I'm not going to talk trash about anything. But it was really frustrating to me. I love talking about this stuff, but it was really frustrating to me to just talk and not hear anybody back, you know? I like the interaction. I like questions. I like people laughing at my jokes, you know?
Yes, actually.
And so I don't know how to scale this, because I know, like, you know, Laura Roeder does webinars with 1,000 people on them and stuff. And I don't know that I like presenting, but I like talking to people. So I thought, well, screw it. I just want to talk to people. What happens? You know, let's see. You know, so I don't know. You know, buy my book, blog about me, link to my site. I don't know. I hadn't thought that through yet. I just enjoy talking to people, you know.
Yeah. Does commenting on your site help you? I know it helps me.
It does from a social validation kind of point of view, because people look at my site and go, oh, 7 people, this guy must have interesting stuff. So from that point of view, and then I get a little ego boost because I feel like, oh my gosh, somebody read my stuff. I'm so excited. Well, you know, so.
Because like when somebody does something like this, I've been devouring your SEO autoresponder series and have really liked it. And I've tried to, you know, tweet some of your articles and that sort of stuff. And I never know if it's, you know, it's a worthwhile drop in the ocean.
Yeah. It's all cumulative, you know, like we were talking about. I guess the best way to help me is to link to me, tweet about my stuff, you know, talk about me. I don't know.
Okay. That's easily done.
Buy my stuff, you know. I don't know.
I'll have to think about a creative way about how to tie SEO and vintage silver and untangling the web together, but
yeah,
maybe I can manage.
Well, have you guys enjoyed this? Has this been valuable?
Yeah, this has been very, very valuable.
Oh,
extremely valuable.
Yes, even coming in late, I got a lot of some great notes.
Yeah.
And I would like to know, I mean, I know Nancy's site now. I wrote that down. I know Conrad's site. Mitch, I know you're an SEO writer. I don't know your site.
Oh,
lady who joined us last, I don't know.
Well, first, could everybody send me the URL to their websites, and I'll publish that and give you links all on Untangling the Web.
Okay.
But Mitch, Mitch, what's yours?
I blog about advertising-related subjects at lovehateadvertising.wordpress.com.
Lovehateadvertising.wordpress.com. Okay.
Thanks.
So, and I'll publish a post on this and post this recording out there and mention everybody.
Yeah, no,
I
really do appreciate this.
And it seems like another question I get, or another feeling I get from a lot of email, is people feel like they're out there all alone. You know, like nobody else has these problems. Everybody else is an expert, but me, I don't know. And, you know, and I thought just talking to each other, going, oh, yeah, I got that problem too, you know, that would be helpful. So.
Yeah, it really was.
Okay.
Birdie, what's your site?
We're still getting stuff out there. The hub site is called www.theavianempire.com. And
was that the article in front of it?
Yes.
Or just Avian Empire?
Alas, no. Sometime when I have the money, I will contact the people and go, dude! But unfortunately, it was sold to somebody else when I went looking. So, yes.
Okay.
So would you guys be interested in doing this again sometime?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Conrad, this is the kind of thing that I would pay a monthly subscription for.
Really?
That I could get. Yeah, it is.
That would be
knew,
like the Third Tribe.
I could frogatize this? Well, Third Tribe is a forum, though, and then they give you the seminars.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I'd be willing to you know, once a whatever, a month, a fortnight, just to be able to say, you know, I tried this, I'm not sure if it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have an SEO person who you could actually
seems like you guys helped each other too. I mean, this isn't me coming down from the mountain bestowing wisdom. It's like we're all in this together, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you have bestowed a lot of wisdom.
<I know.
laughs> You know, in the, what is it, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. That's kind of how I am at the moment. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I actually used that in a sales pitch the other day, but yes, I like that phrase.
Yeah, well, the one question...
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the one question I have is there any reason that it needs to stay on the phone, or can this, like, migrate to Skype successfully? Or do you have any thoughts, preferences, whatever?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I'm on Skype. That's how I'm recording this.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this was an experiment today just to see what would happen, see how it would go. What do you think? What should we do?
My preference would be to move it to Skype, but that's partly because this is a an analog phone, and it skips out, and it's a lot easier for me to be on Skype, because then I can, like, take the computer with me a little bit that I can't with the phone. So, and it seems to come out a lot clearer for me and be able to hear, but
and
you
can't,
I'm one person.
You don't have the Skype account where you can call a phone number? Because that's what I'm doing. I think it costs me like $3 a month or something.
Ah, I'll have to investigate that. I've been very leery about paying Skype money because they've irritated me so much with frustration and
really?
No help files. But it also just never occurred to me.
Well, okay.
So.
All right. Well, I do it because I needed the call recorder for my Survivor cast-off interviews I do every week.
Gotcha.
So, it's a business expense for me. So would you guys, okay, so let's, maybe I'll try setting this up every 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Would
that
work for you guys?
Yeah, thank you very much.
So, okay.
The numbers have just so confused me. I'm just like, you know what? I have so many more important things to deal with right now. I will deal with it later, and this way it doesn't have to be so later, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any last?
And it does all seem sort of shrouded in mystery and awe when you read about it.
Yeah.
To put it mildly, yes.
Yeah, you know, to actually speak to someone about it rather than just to passively read about it is a nice thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys all bought my new book?
Not yet, but that's obviously next. For me, so I'm going to...
Not yet, but obviously I need to go take a look at it.
Yep, the same for me.
I would love to hear your feedback on that, too.
Okay.
I mean, again, it's like phone calls. Writing a book is like it's all one way. And I think I did a really good job. I'm very proud of it, if I might be arrogant for a minute.
Different. And so now, this 101. Is truly a printed thing, or it's an e-book?
It's an e-book.
Okay.
It's an e-book. And it's based on the original Simple Guide to SEO...
But
yeah,
that
like,
one I had, the Karen Feedy.
The first
Feedy.
One? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I started writing it, and everything I've learned in the last year and a half, and it ended up twice as big and packed with, you know, bigger, better information and stuff. So I liked it.
Okay.
It came out really good, I think. So we'll see.
Well,
okay.
I will do that. Okay.
We're after 12 o'clock. Any last comments? Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing
that. Basically, just thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, send me an email with your URLs, and I'll get a blog post out and get this up on the web and all of that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate all you guys calling in. I appreciate you guys. So.
Thank you so much.
And
all right.
Conrad, do
yes.
When you do decide how you're going to do and what you're going to do with that and that, shoot me an email with the details, and I'll make sure to put it in the Roving Robin.
Oh, okay.
Which would be the other reason to go to Skype, because then it's a little easier for people to do the international thing without costing them an arm and a leg.
That's right. Where are you at?
Oh, I'm in Michigan, but, you know, Birds on the Blog is one of the two Roving Robins I'm doing right now, and she's obviously in Britain, so most of her readers are in Britain, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
and Conrad, your new book is the one that's called The Simple Guide to Internet Marketing Basics? No.
That's not it.
Because when you go to Untangling the Web, I don't.
That's the only
that's
one.
Not.
I don't have a new. I don't have a new little banner up. Let me send you an email with a link in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it Simple Guide to SEO 2.0? It's about.
That's it.
Okay, yeah. I found it.
It's like the third or fourth, like post down, and there's a 50% off right now for another week.
Mm. Cool.
Okay.
So,
that sounds good.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully we'll talk in a couple weeks. Send me your URL. I'll put a blog post out and get this all up on the web. So.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds
thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.